Welcome everybody back to the Gaming Careers Podcast, a weekly live stream covering all the news from the live streaming industry and content creation times. This week we'll be chatting about all the recent moves from some big streamers from Twitch across to YouTube. We'll be covering some of the data that's come back from the hashtag A Day Off Twitch and some more tools that have been developed to help tackle hate raids and some new features for platforms like Twitch, Facebook, as well as a pretty significant update to Twitch Studio, which is Twitch's version of some streaming software. Welcome to everybody in the chat. Thanks so much for joining. We do this live show every single Monday on YouTube, so please do feel free to join into the chat. We've already got a whole lot of people introducing themselves, so hello to Mojo, Gadgetron, GHMR, Prowl, Aaron Blazer, Go Fuse, Joe Fuse even. I'm getting better, I feel like, at reading names for the first time. But neither less, let's get across to the other side of the ocean, to Ben. And Ben, it's a bit more exciting because the more eagle-eyed viewers out there that have been watching the podcast for a while might notice that you're in a slightly different location. And you've recently moved, right? And this is the new studio. Let's get it up to full screen and you can tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. So hi, guys. Happy Monday if you're on our side of the world. This is the new studio I moved into. I'm happy to be here. It took me forever to set all this up the way I wanted it to do. But so far, it's working pretty well. First time I had like a dedicated room studio for streaming. So you can hear maybe a little bit of echo. I need some soundproofing still, but otherwise pretty happy with it overall. It's compared to our last studio, it's not bad at all. So pretty happy with it, man. Pete, how you been, man? How you been doing lately?
I've been good, mate. Yeah. Not much exciting moves or things in my world. What did I do at the weekend? I went to a stag do at the weekend, so still recovering from that. But there's been loads of info in the 2 weeks since our last podcast. So you basically chose the worst week to move in terms of big streaming news, Ben. Because as I'm sure most people will think is old news now, we heard that both Dr. Lupo and Tim the Tapman, two of the top 50 streamers on Twitch, I would be confident in saying, move platform, similar to what we saw a year ago with Courage and Valkyrie. They're moving across to YouTube, away from Twitch on new exclusive contracts. So I've got some screen shares here that I can bring up. Basically, both of them tweeted, I think it was 24 hours or 48 hours apart between the two tweets, but they both had sort of release tweets that they would release. They were both kind of comical. I guess Dr. Lupo's was a little bit more serious. But we've now also been able to see sort of the stats from their first week of streaming and how that's impacted Twitch as well. And it's kind of skewed the data to A Day Off Twitch, but we'll get into talking about that in just a sec. When you saw Dr. Lupo's tweet, did you think, this is it? This is huge news? Or were you already straight away thinking there's going to be more like there was last time?
Yeah, I mean, I think I messaged you the instant I saw this because it was like right after we did the podcast. I'm pretty sure when he tweeted out, which always happens. But I felt like there was probably more coming. I didn't know for sure, and I still kind of feel like there are more coming. But I definitely didn't think it'd be so fast with how quickly Tim was on the heels of Lupo with his announcement as well. Because I think it was about 2 days later, if I remember correctly, that he tweeted out as well. Same kind of thing, full tweet promotion. And just announcing that they'd be streaming the next day, essentially, on YouTube from that promotion. So, I mean, it's crazy. We haven't had a story like this to talk about since Shroud and Ninja, really, I think, at this level, I would say. And honestly, it kind of felt like they had stopped doing this for a while because I can't think of the last big move over. Maybe like Courage, sort of, but it's not quite the same level as like a big buyout, I think, with how this stuff has been handled. So it was kind of blew me out of the water. And I'm really interested to see what's coming next, especially Lupo is huge and Tim. I think they're so ingrained in Twitch culture that it was such a big shock, I think, to see them go over to YouTube for how long they've been on that platform.
I think what I found most interesting about these two moves, I feel like YouTube is super intentional with who they choose to offer a exclusive contract to. They're not just offering it to whichever big streamer is complaining about Twitch. They're really thinking about it. And although Tim the Tapman is the bigger of the two streamers, we're still talking about the top 0.01% of Twitch across both of these streamers. Dr. Lupo has that interesting aspect that he has been like the face of Twitch and charity. So like he is a huge, huge name for Twitch to lose. I think even last year in his charity stream, Twitch donated $1 million to that charity stream just outright. So for him to, you know, stand up and leave that platform and join another one is massive news. And then Tim the Tapman, I think, probably is one of the most famous streamers. Like he's almost at that point now where you could start to ask somebody that doesn't know much about streaming and they might have heard of him or seen like one of his tweets go viral or something like that. So in my eyes, these are great acquisitions from YouTube, but not purely just from the standpoint of trying to take viewers away from Twitch, but just in terms of their reach. They're both already big on YouTube as a platform in terms of VOD content, but they are also so brand friendly. They're not going to be a risk. Yes, they have opinions and swear and things like that, but that's not what I'm really talking about being brand friendly. Like, both of these streamers have worked in partnership with several brands in the past, and you've seen them in promotions. I think Tim the Tapman did a lot of things with like the American Football League, and like broadcasting or rebroadcasting games with his own commentary. So like, I was shocked by this, and I'm not necessarily certain that we've seen the last of like this little flurry of acquisitions. I wouldn't be surprised if YouTube was going to announce any more. But for me, the biggest thing is just how deliberate YouTube have been with choosing which streamers to acquire. And like, both of these guys are dads as well, and I don't know if they're seeing in demographics that they're wanting to appeal to that age group or anything like that. I wouldn't be surprised, but like, I think there's a lot of things about this deal that will break down. But for me, the first point I wanted to talk about was just how intentional the hand picking of these two streamers are.
Yeah, I think to your point, like, those two streamers in particular are so... I was watching Devin's video on this, and he just said that Lupo is the kind of streamer that you need to keep on the platform, especially with how much Twitch has done to support Lupo, I think, through charity. He's such a face of Twitch, or has been until this point. So I was really surprised to see him go that way. And then Tim, on the flip side, maybe not the charity side so much, but I feel like Tim is probably the streamer that I hear has inspired people to stream the most. Like, of all the friends that I know who stream, more than half of them say that Tim was the reason they started streaming, watching him do it. So I think he's very aspirational for a lot of people. And so I think that's also huge to lose, just for the brand of what Twitch wants to do to encourage new streamers and also to support bigger missions with streaming. So the fact that they're both on YouTube now, and they are both very brand friendly, I don't think is an accident, to your point. And I do think we'll probably see some more people coming. There's been some hints and teases throughout, both from streamers as well as from YouTube, I think, and some people working behind the scenes there. So I don't think they're done. And it really makes sense though, right? Like, they should probably do it all at once rather than doing this like one streamer at a time kind of thing, and really just make that big push altogether. So I don't know. I'm sure people in chat have some predictions on who they think will be moving over next, if you think people are moving over next to YouTube. I know I've seen some things here and there from Nick Merckx is the one that I'm suspecting the most. Pete, I don't know. You have any thoughts on who you're eyeing to move over potentially?
I mean, I've heard the rumors about Nick Merckx. I wouldn't be surprised if YouTube was, again, thinking about the type of creator. So Ludwig maybe comes to mind to me, or Lyric, like these very popular streamers that are brand friendly and can bring already have a large audience on YouTube, I think is who they would be targeting. But we don't know. Maybe they're just sort of doing a couple per year to, as they kind of introduce new features to the platform. But I think there's a lot to discuss here. One of the quotes that I want to pull out from one of the articles that we'll have linked in the show notes for people listening is that Ryan Wyatt, I don't know how you say his surname, Wyatt, I guess would be my guess, but he was interviewed by one of the sites, and he said, he is the head of YouTube gaming. So he's basically the person behind all of the decisions that YouTube make for the live streaming platform and all of these acquisitions. So he's a great person to follow on Twitter. He was quoted to say, "I think stream burnout is a real thing. I'm not going to try and bring people over here to stream 150 to 200 hours a month. I don't think that's healthy. It's not what we're trying to create at YouTube." And then both streamers, both Dr. Lupo and Tim the Tapman, have been quoted to basically say, yes, money was a massive motivating factor as to why they moved over. But also, they're both fathers. They both value family time, and they both want to put more effort into non-live content, which YouTube allows, and Twitch, you know, really doesn't have a platform to be able to do those kind of things. So I think we've seen rumors that both contracts on the YouTube side have been around 100 hours per month compared to Twitch's offering, which seems to be rumored at 200 hours per month. So less requirement to stream and more money, I think, is the main contributing factors to their decision. And you know that there's been loads of communication behind the scenes with Tim and Dr. Lupo and Dr. Disrespect and Courage. Like, these guys are always playing games together, or were when they were all on Twitch. So I imagine there's been lots of discussion. There are a lot of negatives, I think, on the side of streaming to YouTube, and most people know them pretty well now. A lot of people hate the interface and the chat layout. But this is probably a good time to bring in one of the topics we're going to talk about later. But that is that better, no, I've got to get this right now. It used to be called Better Twitch TV. It's now called Better TTV. Has just released their extension in browsers like Chrome or Firefox so that it now works on YouTube as well. Let me see if I can find the tweet here. I have it now. So yeah, they announced, when was this? September the 12th. So literally yesterday, that they have brought out Better TTV to YouTube live chat now as well. And I don't know if this is being rolled out on an account basis or on a country basis, or if it's just enabled for everybody, but you should now be able to enable the Better TTV extension to work on YouTube. So those global amounts that many people love seeing on Twitch can now be spammed on YouTube. And that's just a small step, and it was kind of completely out of YouTube's hand as to when they implemented this. But emotes are a massive part of why people love using Twitch, and YouTube has still got a lot of things to do, but I think this is a decent talking point. Did you see this, Ben, or what's your thoughts?
Yeah, this is huge. I mean, I'm a huge BTTV emote user on Twitch, and I think that's a huge part of how the culture of Twitch has developed. And it doesn't really have to be tied to Twitch if you think about it, because a lot of those emotes are just on BTTV. So they could easily just be across streaming platforms with the same emote, essentially. And I think it is only on certain channels right now. I think Tim was one of them. One of the reasons, I remember he was talking about how cool he thought this was, because obviously his chat is very invested in that kind of emote culture. So it's cool to see that they've added that for his channel. And it sounds like you'll be able to opt into it as well if you're any streamer down the road. But all in all, I think this is huge. We even had someone in our chat typing pog, things like that. Like, that's such a big part of streaming culture. And one of the big gaps, I think, on YouTube right now is that we don't have a lot of emote solutions like that. So this seems like a small thing, but I think it can really do a lot. We talked about how YouTube doesn't have the same culture as Twitch yet, of how it's built that up in the last decade. And I think this kind of thing helps a lot with that in the coming years. So I definitely would like to use this if it becomes available for everybody. And I'll be using it a lot in the streams that I'm watching for sure on YouTube.
I saw a live stream from Tim with Dr. Disrespect in the last week or so. And he was like trying to explain to him Better TTV. And Dr. Disrespect just had no idea what it was. Like, he was like, he'd seen all those messages in his chat over the years of poggers and things like that. And he just read the word because he never installed the extension, which just makes you like realize that some people have never even heard of it and just think it's all text-based. But I think this is a big deal, and YouTube are 100% aware of the reasons that their platform and their UI doesn't look as good as Twitch in many streamers' eyes. Like, but those things can all be fixed with code and so quickly. The big advantage that YouTube has, and I think a big underlying reason behind these moves, is that they have the users on site. And it's something that I've said in countless videos, and I know a number of other content creators mention it all the time. YouTube has something like 2 billion active users. Twitch can't acquire new users like YouTube could just send more people to live streams. At some point, YouTube is going to push live streams more than it is currently doing, whether that's through recommended or on the homepage or through some kind of directory. But they can make changes to the design of their site at any point to direct more people into live streams and up the numbers of how many people are watching live streams on YouTube. That's their decision, and they are making the right slow steps to get there. Might be frustratingly slow in some people's eyes, but they already have the number of users on the website, and they just need to start promoting live streams more. Twitch, to acquire new users, have to get people to understand what twitch.tv is. Like, people have to type that URL into a browser and they will have never heard of it before. It's not like Amazon can start pushing people to Twitch unless they're on the page about, you know, buying a new PS5 or something like that. It's such a harder promotion from Amazon to Twitch than it is from YouTube to YouTube Gaming or YouTube Live or whatever they want to call it. So there is definitely a much, much higher ceiling to streaming on YouTube than there is on Twitch, unless Twitch can do something drastic to acquire new users. And this seems like a sensible strategy from YouTube's point of view. Like, they can start to bring a few bigger streamers on as they continue to develop and invest in the platform. And really, the number of complaints that people can have about YouTube is just going to be going down month by month as they introduce a new feature. So things like the layout and the UI, yes, I agree, it's not as good as Twitch. And the culture of support isn't there either, like it is on Twitch. But those are things that can be fixed. And I would be very surprised if in 2 years' time, YouTube hasn't made any changes to the UI and it's not a more dominant platform. So what do you think, Ben? Have I made any sense there, or is it all nonsense?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree that the problem of user base is much harder to solve than the problem of UI, because to your point, like even this BTTV thing and things like the Subway chat, those are things that you click on and they're solved, right? Versus a user base, you cannot just go out there and instantly have all these engaged users on your platform. So I think that YouTube has the big advantage there, obviously having that much time. I do think that there is, it's interesting to hear Fwiz talk about how he thinks that, you know, a lot of people say like, well, why doesn't YouTube look just like Twitch? Like in terms of directory going through channels. And it seems like they don't want to go that direction at all. They want to go down more of the recommendation avenue, which works so well for VOD content for them, as well as just having a different kind of experience than what Twitch is doing, not just replicating that, which I think is fair because it's not like the Twitch version of things really solves all the issues to streaming. So I don't necessarily think it's the right thing to just go copy what Twitch is doing. And I kind of like that they're looking at this middle ground of, okay, what's a better way to look at streams in general? And I don't think they've solved it yet, but at least they're trying out different ideas. I've seen recommended streams on videos, which is something that you don't have on Twitch at all right now, which is pretty interesting. Even I heard Tim and Lupo kind of talk about this when they moved over, just how the platform is different in terms of how you find stuff. And that can sometimes help you have more people find your stuff if they're watching videos. And also just the size of the platform. Like Tim was saying, on Twitch, he was, you know, top 1%. Like he really had no more ceiling to go in terms of other streamers on that platform. On YouTube, there's a lot of huge creators. So he has the potential to build more of an audience there. And I think he said he was getting more views on YouTube technically than he was on Twitch with the content he was making. So when you put all those things together, it kind of makes sense why I moved over and why I think YouTube's taking their time with how they designed the system to help discoverability, and especially for not just the top creators, but the smaller ones as well, which I think is one of the big plus factors for YouTube if they kind of solve that down the road.
I think one thing that I saw Tim say in his announcement video and his announcement live stream was that he's created like 5 or 6 different YouTube channels now. I don't know if you saw this, Ben, but he has like the main youtube.com/TimTheTapMan is just going to be live streams and VODs now. It's not going to be the traditional content that was uploaded there. He's got a second channel for that. He's got a third channel for shorts. He's got a fourth channel for, I don't know, like vlogs or something like that. But he's decided to put it into several different YouTube channels. Now, if I am YouTube, and this is often how I think about any decisions on my own YouTube channel, I try and think from YouTube's point of view. They really would want people to put all of that onto one channel. So that these rumors of things affecting your uploads and live streams affecting your traditional uploads and things like that, they might be true for a couple of weeks, but I think that's got to be down to a bug. Like it can't, YouTube doesn't want to punish people that live stream on their platform. They want to reward that. So it's interesting, I think, that Tim has gone that route of multiple different channels. I'm not quite sure what Dr. Lupo has done, but you would think that YouTube wants to promote all the different content types on a single channel. So maybe he has some insider info that we don't have. One interesting thing that came from all of this, if I bring up the screen share, is that if you were a very recent subscriber to Tim the Tatman, or you've been subscribed for a long time and your subscription just refreshed, they sent out an email basically saying that since Tim has left the platform, you can redeem your latest subscription and use it on somewhere else. So this was a tweet by Golden Boy, basically says, to redeem this offer, please fill out this form by October the 3rd, and then you can use that subscription somewhere else, which was nice. I don't think Twitch had to do that, but it's a good way of avoiding some backlash, I guess, and helps Tim even stay in good standing with a lot of his viewers. But it was interesting, the first stream, I watched a lot of it and caught up a bit with the VOD, how much support he had. I mean, he's a massive streamer with a massive community, so it doesn't particularly surprise me that he was nearly hitting 100,000 concurrents and just nonstop donations and tips and new members and things like that. But really interesting, I think, to see how the next 6 months goes for these creators. Obviously, Courage and Valkyrae have had huge years on YouTube and really helped grow the platform as well as their own channels. So, but I feel like this is a step up. This is another level of creator that's gone across now.
Yeah, and I think to the point of, you know, we talk about how it's hard to find live streams on YouTube, of course, but I will say, even after adding Tim and Lupo, I've figured out how to watch YouTube streams more over the past 2 weeks because suddenly I'm more interested in watching these streams when these creators come over. So I think if YouTube keeps signing big creators and brings their communities over, they'll figure out how the system works. And so discoverability will become less of an issue. I still think they can improve it, but I think a lot of it just comes down to it being new as well. People just haven't taken the time to learn it yet. So Plus the point I wanted to mention really quickly on the fact that they got Tim and Lupo, who can play with some of their other creators like Doc. And I think Tim's first stream back, it was him, Lupo, Doc, Dr. Respect, and Courage. I don't think that's, I think it's not entirely purposeful, but it's also like a bonus sort of signing them, is that they can make these big collab moments with their creators. And so a lot of people think that maybe the next streamers they bring over will be kind of in that same vein of people who will play with their existing creators and help some more of that cross-pollination, which makes sense. And I think a lot of the brandable faces on Twitch who might move over kind of fit that category. If you look at Nick Mertz or maybe Ludwig, these kind of guys who have had rumors, they definitely could do some content with these other streamers they've signed. So that's interesting to see what happens if they end up going over there.
Just muting my microphone as my dog barks at the ice cream van that goes past every single Monday, thankfully. One thing that was kind of unfortunate about the day that Tim and Lupo decided to leave the platform was that it was also the hashtag a day off Twitch, which really made analyzing the impact of that event quite challenging. Yeah, I saw people taking in the stats of average viewership that they brought in and removing that from the data. And then, you know, there's all kinds of challenges that make it difficult to really understand how much of an impact a day off Twitch had. But we have to talk about it because it was a major event, and, you know, it even got picked up by Forbes. So if I bring up the screen share here, Forbes even covered the kind of results of this on their website, which I found super interesting. The most relevant data, Sully Gnome, probably our favorite stats website, released some data showing an image of the total hours watched per day for the whole of 2021, which are each of these individual green lines. And you probably can't see on the stream here, but the a day off Twitch, September the 1st, was the third lowest viewership for the whole year. I think the other two dates were the 1st of January, so New Year's Day, and then 28th of June, he says here. I don't know if that's significant. Maybe it's a public holiday or something, but there clearly was an impact. And even though it's kind of skewed by two big streamers not streaming that day, I still think you can look at this data and say that there was a significant impact from a day off Twitch. And Twitch certainly will have noticed an impact, and all of the tweets and speculation around it, I think, were probably made pretty relevant to them.
Yeah, and I think one of the wins was getting articles like this created by Forbes and just getting attention around the issue. So I think to that point, you know, if we just want more attention around what Twitch needs to fix and what's happening, then I think that's successful. And even, you know, you can say that the data was a little skewed with Lupo and Tim being gone that week. But, you know, there are days that they don't stream, and this was still one of the lower days. Plus, it almost like adds to it the fact that I think Tim moved over on the day off Twitch specifically.
Yeah, he did.
Which was kind of a double whammy when you had that. It was already trending. And I think Tim was also trending on Twitter. So the fact that this happened at the same time, it almost seems like Tim moved over because of day off Twitch with the way that worked out. So I think it was a lot of attention around what needs to happen and just a call out for Twitch that week. Just between everything they lost that week, whether it was Lupo, Tim, or all the streamers who were also not streaming that particular day.
Yeah, it's always interesting to look at the data, but I did find this one difficult to digest. Whilst we're on the topic of a day off Twitch, obviously a big part of that problem is the hate raids. And in the last week, or maybe it was the week before, but basically in the gap between our two podcasts, we also saw Streamlabs announce a new feature for anybody that's using their chatbot called Safe Mode. The blog post is actually a little bit more relevant than their tweet, but basically you can enable all kinds of options with the click of one button. So here are the options that you have if you're using their chatbot or their cloud bot. So you can activate one button, which will clear all recent events, clear the currently queued follower host raid alerts, disable follower alerts, put chat in only mode, put chat in follower only mode, put chat in sub mode only mode, disable chat alerts for followers, and clear the chat history. And then you can also set it to automatically exit safe mode in a certain number of minutes. And all of these options are completely customizable. So, you know, if you don't want it to be sub only mode and you want it to be emote only mode instead, you just tick whichever box you want. And then it's just a button on your Streamlabs dashboard where you see any of the recent events that you can click, and it basically does all this for you. And I know that there's been lots of community-built solutions for Stream Deck and for Touch Portal, and you know, multiple bits of free software like that. But it was interesting, I think, really, just to see how quickly a relatively big company like Streamlabs can make a feature like this, and then Twitch still sort of dragging their heels when it comes to this. What do you think? Do you use Streamlabs as your like chat moderation on Twitch, or would this have to be something that you had to bring in yourself?
Yeah, I don't currently use like the Streamlabs bot or anything. I use the, you know, alerts and things like that. So I'd have to bring it in myself probably. I do think that's a really cool feature though. It seems like it's almost identical to the panic button that the community kind of built with the Stream Deck in the past, and is just a great tool to have. I would say even if you aren't currently experiencing hate raids of any kind, it just seems like a great option to have in case, you know, something awful happens in your chat, God forbid. So I think we'll see more of this even after the hate raid kind of swell as a defense measure. And it's a good learning kind of time for this kind of thing happening on streams. To your point though, I'm surprised that Twitch has taken so long to actually get their own solution out here. I know they put out an FAQ article on kind of why it takes them so long to do this, but still not a real solution that I've seen from them. I don't know, maybe they're still working on something, but it just seems like by the time they get something out, like we talked about before, it's going to kind of hopefully have subsided a little bit by that point.
Yeah, it's one of those articles, like I read this earlier this morning, this paragraph in particular, why does it take so long to build new safety tools? And they basically just say, it takes a long time because we have to test it before we can put it out live to so many users. But like you said, if they take this long to be able to build solutions and it's literally causing people to stop streaming on the platform, then there's almost no point building the solution, because by that time, it's probably no longer an issue. It felt the same way with DMCA. Like, it took them so long to even build features like mass unlisting VODs or being able to see which VOD you got a DMCA strike on. And I sympathize with engineers because I used to be a software developer and I know things aren't easy, especially when you're a big company and you have to think about the scale of solutions like this and how they impact performance. But at the same time, I just feel like Twitch could better prioritize what people are working on. And when something like this comes up, they should build a response team that just like literally works full time on trying to get solutions out. Because Streamlabs have shown that they can build something relatively simple. And I realize that Streamlabs are taking advantage of what they've already built in terms of moderating bots in chat so they can see what's going on and disable and enable things. And that's much easier to build. But, you know, even mobile verification, like having to have a phone number, something like that, like just get a hotfix out there that people are going to be satisfied with. Funnily enough, like it's one of those solutions. Well, Streamlabs solution is one of those solutions that the community kind of designed and then they just implemented at their level. But it's nice to be able to have all those kind of options, especially when hate raids are still ongoing. I actually checked this morning to see how much those sort of hashtags are still trending on Twitter, and they still seem to be being talked about a lot. So it's still definitely a problem.
Yeah, and not just the hate raids, but there's, I think in the last week or so, there's been all this strange follower spam. And I think kind of, we talked before about how there were these channels that were streaming and like leaking your IP basically if you went and clicked on them. I think it's more this strange kind of bot behavior with it's like host and then a string of characters and Haas and a string of characters. And they're just spam following people and then unfollowing. And it's been happening to like every streamer I know on Twitch for the past week or two. I don't know what's going on there. It seems like it's kind of related to the hate raid stuff and just general bot abuse in general. So hopefully I'll have a solution for that one too. But obviously big things like hate raids and even DMCA stuff that really is impacting people, you know, pretty substantially and quickly. It feels like we would need a quick solution for those things in some form, especially the hate raids that are causing so much just hate on the platform and really, like you said, causing people to stop streaming altogether or just creating so much hate in general. I think that has to have a quick fix of some kind. Even if it's not ideal, that gets something out there because that's doing so much damage to the brand of Twitch and just the people in general that I think you have to have something out there you can give to people.
Totally agree. And it's not necessarily a problem that is specific to Twitch. Like, I don't know if YouTube already has a solution in place for this. They've dealt with spam comments for years, so maybe they do. But Facebook and places like that, they probably are all aware about this. This could happen to them. And it's something that they have to think about when they're designing their platform. Whilst we're talking about Facebook, there was an update this week about a new, well, not really a new feature, but maybe more an expansion of a feature across to smaller streamers. So Facebook have a really great system for using licensed music in live streams. And they basically expanded that system. So it's not just for partners, but it's now for, I need to get the name right, Level Up Creators, which is effectively the step below partnered status. I don't think it's quite as easy to get as Twitch affiliate, but effectively now these creators can stream with music from big hitters like UMG, Warner Music Group, Sony Music Entertainment. And I'm not necessarily sure if it's all songs from those platforms, but there's like a huge library that is owned by those three labels, and you can now stream with them on Facebook. And they even have like a really advanced system where it detects whilst you're streaming if you're streaming a song that is not DMCA safe, and you get a notification so you can kind of just remove that song from your playlist. Obviously that's a little bit retrospective, but it's better than streaming the same playlist over and over again and you having no idea that there's a DMCA claim on its way for you. So nice little update. We're still a little bit scratching the surface on Facebook live streaming, but the more features like this that get built, the more I'm thinking, why has Amazon not, like, Amazon has a music service, right? They have a Spotify and YouTube competitor. Why have they not used those contacts to try and get some kind of license on Twitch for Twitch partners or for Twitch affiliates to be able to stream with music from these groups? Because they must have contacts from these groups, because they'll constantly be wanting to put music onto Amazon Music. So I don't know if that's just different teams or it's a real struggle, or maybe it's a massive, massive expense and
yes,
and Twitch can't afford it with the budget that Amazon allows them to have, and Facebook can, because there's literally millions of hours of video footage being uploaded to Facebook every day, and maybe they got some kind of blanket deal for live streams plus video content.
Exactly. That's what I'm going to say too. I think because Facebook can use that for not just live streams, but potentially videos and any other kind of content on there. So maybe it makes more sense. I think it's got to be because of the expense of why Twitch hasn't done this. And I think we're kind of sleeping on Facebook's music service in terms of streaming for what they do, because I've tested that. And to your point, they will tell you when you're using a DMCA, a song you don't have access to use. And not only tell you that, they will actually shut your stream down if you keep using that song and end that stream physically. So I guess that's why they can get away with doing this stuff, because they have actual enforcement to stop a stream. That's not something that's going to happen on Twitch or even YouTube, I think, right now. So I'm sure when they go to Universal Music Group, to Warner, they can tell, like, here's what's going to happen if they have your music that is not approved. We'll actually shut down the stream. Don't be any content. So I think that's why they've been able to do this. And I got to say, if I was a Facebook streamer, I would love this, because I still, you know, there's a lot of good DMCA-free music out there now, but you still, a lot of people want to listen to the most popular stuff out there. So I think, especially for new streamers, this is a really cool value. You can just listen to music you already like for the most part. From what I'm reading in the article, it's a lot of music, including some of the most popular stuff out there. So I love this. And I wish that we'd see more of it on Twitch and YouTube. I think maybe you'd see more. There is some licensing on YouTube already, but I don't really see Twitch doing this, unfortunately. Unless they really feel the pressure compared to these platforms and have to kind of step up to equal them a little bit.
There's a few people in the chat right now saying that they've had good success with streaming on Facebook, and you know, some more classic responses of if Facebook can just keep developing cool features for YouTube and Twitch to copy, that'd be great. That'd be their contribution. <That's right>. Which I think is probably, yeah, that's probably the mindset that most streamers that stream on Twitch and YouTube think, like, oh yeah, Facebook, I've heard of them. Just keep building stuff and then hopefully they'll be copied by Twitch and YouTube. This is cool. It's not the only news that we have actually of a platform developing new features this week. There's also an update on Twitch for, what have they called it? The Ad Manager. So I still have access to the dashboard, so I can show a little bit of this. But effectively, it is going to be a way of being able to set up an actual schedule of when ads run on your channel. And the big advantage of this is that if you run enough ads, you can disable the pre-roll, which means when new people arrive at your stream, they're not seeing an advert straight away, which is obviously not ideal. If it's a new viewer arriving at your stream, you don't want to test them by having a 30-second advert run, because really they're trying to check out your content. So a lot of streamers manually run ads every X number of minutes. I'm not quite sure how often you have to do it. Oh, it says here actually, 30-second ad break equals 10 minutes pre-roll ad free. Up to 1 minute, 30 second ad break equals 30 minutes of pre-roll ad free. So if you run these ad breaks, you can effectively stop the pre-roll from showing when new people arrive at your stream. And now this ads manager, if you actually click into it, you can set up how often you want adverts to automatically run in your on your channel with certain spacing. And I get that this isn't ideal in terms of like if you're playing like a lobby-based game, like League of Legends or Valorant or something like that, you probably want to run ads when you're in queue, and then it's like not that much of a broken experience for people watching your stream. Whereas this, there's nothing stopping the ad from automatically running when you're in like some super hype moment, which isn't ideal. But having this extra level of control for a Twitch streamer, I think is a really great idea. And I would highly encourage people to run ads to avoid the pre-roll running at the start of the stream, because that is the biggest off-putting experience for somebody discovering your stream.
Yeah, and a couple of things I want to say. First of all, I think this feature in terms of being able to turn off pre-rolls if you run mid-rolls has existed for a while, but it just hasn't really been spelled out very well to people. So I think this is just a communication improvement, essentially showing you how the system works and you can schedule it to automatically happen. So it's better, I think, that you can understand how to do it now, and you can set up the schedule with the snooze, it says. So it'll give you a heads up before the ad actually starts. And if you want to pause that ad, you can do that. Of course, you'll get pre-rolls if you do that, but at least you'll have the option to snooze if you need to. Obviously, still not a fan of watching pre-rolls or mid-rolls on streams, but if you have to do it, then having this tool to help explain it a little bit better, I think, does help. And I will say, as someone who uses this often, I would probably use this feature to run more mid-rolls. I tend to not run mid-rolls because I kind of was confused on how it worked before. So this would definitely help me, I think, learn when to run ads a bit better, because I agree. I mean, pre-rolls feel like probably the worst ad experience because it really stunts your new viewer growth for anyone who's coming into your channel. So I hopefully this will improve just new user retention for people's channels in general.
Yeah, there's comments in chat about how much ads on Twitch suck, like for a viewer's point of view and for the creator's point of view, like the monetization split is terrible. And I 100% agree. Like, Twitch has definitely shown a focus in the last year of adverts being a big priority for them going forward. And right now, it kind of sucks for creators. You even look at the biggest of biggest streamers, and they're probably making less than 1% of their revenue from ads running. And when you compare that to subs and gifted subs and even bits and sponsorships and all those other elements that streamers have in their arsenal of how they make money, Twitch ads is a tiny, tiny percentage. But Twitch as a platform, as we're all aware, is very top heavy, and the top 100 or 500 creators hold a huge percentage of the viewership. And the way that Twitch can try and capitalize on that is if they can make more money from ads running. So like, that's their mindset, in my opinion, is that Twitch ads is profitable for Twitch and not particularly great for streamers. And maybe there's not enough noise being made about that, but Twitch is well aware that if they need to start turning profit, because big boss Amazon is around the corner asking what you're doing all day, then ads might be the way that they're really trying to focus that. So more controls to the streamer is at least a nice start. But yeah, it would be better if it was a better ad split. And we've actually seen, if you think back on the past year, Ben, we've seen quite a lot of ad updates for ads and how viewers see ads and the ability for like the stream to go up into the top corner and then the ad to take the full screen. And we've seen overlay ads. Like, it has been a massive focus for Twitch as a platform, hasn't it?
It has. And I, you know, to your point, I think because there's so much pressure on monetization, they have to do something. I just feel, I mean, to everyone's point in the chat and to your point, the current system of ads on Twitch feels especially bad. I think even compared to YouTube and Facebook, it's just so bad on Twitch, with the pre-rolls being so long, I think, is a huge one. You can't skip any ads on Twitch, which feels really bad, especially for a live stream. And just to me, it really feels like the in-video ads just feel so archaic for Twitch as a platform. Like the ones that we've talked about on the show here with the interactive, the pop-up ads and the corner ads, I feel like there's so much more you could do with ads in a live stream experience than just show a pre-recorded video, which is the opposite of a live stream, right? And I think sponsors, people who are advertising, would pay more for a more interactive ad that drives more clicks and actually interests people. Because I mean, I can tell you, I've never bought anything from a Twitch ad that I've ever seen. And if I were the one paying for these ads and I knew that I would get, you know, 3 times as many clicks on an ad with a more engaging ad, then I would be happy to pay for that and get away from the pre-recorded video. So I kind of think this is growing pains. And just looking at what other video platforms have done and copying that in the short term, I really think we'll see more adoption and use of these interactive ads if they can actually get them out there to everybody. And then hopefully there'll be a much better experience for streamers and viewers alike and better monetization, more cuts, things like that, as we see more use and just a better reception for them, honestly.
Don't deny, Ben, that the response that you gave to that, which Converse are you going to be wearing in the summer, Twitch interactive ad is not being used right now to target you all over the internet. Next summer, we're going to see Ben in some new Converse from his response.
Green Converse.
Yeah, it was green, wasn't it?
That's what I'm
wearing. I mean, lots and lots of updates to ads. Maybe put one of your teams that's on ads on hate raids and sorting out your platform would be nice.
That's a whole nother thing.
But, you know, we can't make these decisions because we don't know what it's like working there in terms of they're probably getting a lot of pressure from Amazon. And it kind of feels like, from my point of view, that Amazon just bought Twitch so that Google couldn't buy Twitch, because back then there was like offers from both platforms. And I don't know how much investment they've really put behind it, but I don't know how much they really, really honestly care. The last update to talk about is Twitch Studio, I think. If you remember that, it came out maybe 2 years ago now. And they've been slowly releasing updates every month, really. There's definitely a team working on this the whole time. But a pretty cool update came out, and I only found this through my Twitch dashboard. I didn't see anybody talking about this on Twitter, but I was away over the weekend, so maybe I just missed it. But a new update called Advanced Audio Mixer, which effectively all it does is allows you to bring in audio channels from individual apps. So you could have one for Google Chrome if you're watching YouTube or Spotify, and then you could have those controls within Twitch Studio. But when Twitch Studio came out, it was a very basic piece of software. And actually what you could do with this, when you combine it with the, what do they call it? Like the second track that you can send to Twitch, they call it VOD audio or something. It'll be somewhere in this article. They don't really have a name of it, but within the software, you can exclude any of these audio sources that you add from your clips and VODs on stream, because you effectively, if you don't know how this old feature works, you can send one stream with all the audio to Twitch that people see live, but it's actually two different channels of audio and one of them doesn't get saved in the VODs and clips. So the reason this was kind of hot brought in was DMCA, like stream with music. And because these audio companies are just kind of looking at your VODs, you can get away with it. But it's come out now that these audio companies are checking live streams as well. So it's not really a solution for that. But it is, if you got quite creative and maybe you only want your VODs to have your voice and background music and not any of your teammates' voices or something like that, you can quite easily set this up now by adding Discord as one of your audio sources, excluding that audio source from clips and VODs, and then it won't get saved in clips and VODs and it'll just be the audio sources that you select. So I was surprised to see this, because in my head, like, Twitch Studio was really built as a beginner's way to get into streaming. And as soon as you wanted to customize things even a little bit, you would move to OBS Studio or Streamlabs OBS or XSplit even. But if they're developing features like this, and, you know, there's even audio filters now for compression, and you can see it here, noise gate, noise suppression. Like, they're really building out a piece of software that I think they hope a lot of new streamers on Twitch will use. So maybe that's, they've seen that as being a massive pain point for streamers finding out about Twitch and then having to go to YouTube channels like mine to learn how to use OBS, whereas they can just hold their hand throughout the whole process, from account creation to here's the software you need to now you can stream on Twitch and it's super easy. So yeah, Ben, when was, have you ever used Twitch Studio? Maybe the first question. Well, and what do you think of the update?
I think I may have installed it when it came out just to see what it was like, but not in a long time. In fact, I was going to ask anybody in chat, does anyone here use Twitch Studio? Because I'd be really curious to know. While we're getting some answers on that, this is interesting to me. It's unfortunate that it's only in Twitch Studio, because I haven't used it in a long time. To your point, maybe they're trying to make it more exciting, but I think, like, I'm not going to move over to Twitch Studio because they added this one feature, right? There has to be a lot more features before I would consider doing that.
I'm just going to read out some responses. Klepto, hell no. Shredder, no. Lol. Mike Run, no. COD Player, no. No, hell nah. Yep. Oh, we got one person that's used it. I've never used it. Nobody uses Twitch Studio. Nope, nope, not at all. Nobody, hell no. So yeah, a resounding no. I think we got 1 out of 20. It could have been answering one of our previous questions for all we know. It's not a huge amount of the gaming careers audience, clearly, but yeah. I mean, it's still interesting. I think it's always good to see competition, and you know, it can drive new features to be built. And it went on launch, it was for a different audience than OBS Studio. I feel like it really was for the beginner that wants to get set up with streaming. You know, it kind of felt like one step further than the Xbox native app for streaming on Twitch, or the PS5 native app for streaming on Twitch, where you could add a camera and position it in one of four corners. And over time, it's clearly got more advanced. I'm just making sure that we highlight that we can't sleep on this software, because Twitch is building it, and they're not just using a fork of OBS Studio like Streamlabs are. Like this is something that's been built from the ground up, as far as I'm aware, anyway. So it could well keep surprising us with more advanced features like this.
Yeah, and to your point, like it is the native streaming software, right? So even when you go to Twitch and there's the FAQ about how to start streaming, this is the thing they link to. And I think this is kind of what you use for mobile streaming too, this kind of system. So it does make sense for people who have no idea about streaming at all and just want to go through what Twitch says, make it really easy to do. I think that could probably help with the new streamer process of learning how to start streaming. But again, I mean, just in terms of features, you're quickly going to be kind of outclassed by OBS Studio and these other platforms that can do the same thing, but arguably better, unless Twitch keeps developing some stuff like this that's custom built for Twitch. Like I think of some of the Twitch soundtrack stuff and extensions. I think like I use the League of Legends extension that shows you the in-game stats, and you can only do that through the Twitch app, I believe. So if they have some custom integrations like that, that you have to have the Twitch app for, then I could see a case for it. But currently, I mean, I haven't seen a reason to use it, and it seems like nobody in chat has really had a need to use it just yet either.
All right, let's wrap up by talking about my latest video. I like to sort of highlight if I've released a video, because a lot of people don't get the notifications. But put a video out last week, actually exactly a week ago today, looking at 9 more advanced features from a Stream Deck. And this is the perfect opportunity to ask somebody about this, because Ben, you still don't own a Stream Deck. I'm gonna let this play so it's not just like my video paused in the background. But you still don't own a Stream Deck. You've been streaming on Twitch for how long now? And do you use an alternative? I guess that's the first question. Because fair enough, if you use Touch Portal or Leonboard, or I don't know, even Streamlabs OBS is like mobile app remote.
Nope. All I use is a second PC on a second monitor and just use a second mouse to switch stuff. Because I have not found something that I absolutely cannot do without a Stream Deck yet, personally. And so I've invested in things like gear that you can't really replace with just doing manually. And I would love to get a Stream Deck eventually. I just, in order of priority with my stream, I've put Stream Deck lower. Do you feel like I have that placed differently? Like, is there something that you would find irreplaceable without a Stream Deck?
I think you've been incredibly sensible with your order of buying things. I mean, in some aspects, you bought a Shure SM7B, which is probably the most expensive microphone that streamers reasonably buy.
Well.
But for somebody that streams the whole time and wanted, you know, audio to be a big part of their stream, and you obviously podcast the whole time as well, it was a good investment, and a better investment than something like a Stream Deck. I don't think really like the advantage of a Stream Deck or any of those apps is necessarily that you can't do it without it. It's just how convenient it makes it. Yep. Like, that was the initial response people had when the Stream Deck first came out, was I can just buy a $15 numpad that I can plug into my computer, and then I've got 25 keys, exactly the same as the Stream Deck. But it's just the fact that you can have a different thing shown, and the amount of features now, and like this video helped hopefully highlight some of the more advanced things that you can do rather than just like swapping scenes, muting microphones, and some of the things that I use it for every day. And even outside of streaming, like the general day-to-day advantage that I have. And it's not exclusive to the Stream Deck. I don't want this to be like a plug to Elgato. The video was about Stream Deck because that was such a big search term. But you can do this stuff on Touch Portal and various other apps. But there are some really cool features now. And I stole some. I like tweeted out to try and get some ideas from the community to make sure I didn't miss any. And some of the responses back were so cool that I had to include them in the video. So thanks to everybody that responded to my tweet. But there's just some awesome things that you can do now. And Ben, if it reaches December and you still haven't bought one, then I will buy you one for Christmas. That is my promise to you. just have to send me your address and I'll order it for you.
Just got to be good to get on Pete's good list over there. Yeah. No, I mean, your video was really cool. It made some really, I think it would save a lot of time with some of that stuff. So I see the value in it, especially as some of the things people are building are crazy with what you can do on the Stream Deck these days. So I would love to try it out. It just personally, you know, it's one of those things I'm going to get eventually. I haven't got around to it yet.
All right. You're just basically guaranteeing that I'm buying you one for Christmas then. Thanks.
Well, I mean, if you're going to buy me one, then why would I buy one, right?
Yeah, exactly. Smart. God, being outsmarted from across the pond. But the video's done super well. Like, it's always nice when you put time into a video or a project and it does well. And that's the flip side of being a YouTuber, is that you have several that you put a lot of time into and they don't do anything at all. So happy that it's done well. If you haven't yet watched it and you're watching this stream and you own a Stream Deck or you're thinking about getting one, have a watch, see some of the things that you can do with it. And hopefully you'll be able to, you know, get a better productivity in your day-to-day life as a streamer using the Stream Deck. I think that's everything. We went about it in a bit of a strange order today. So we may well have missed a bullet point, but let me know, Ben, was there anything that we missed off the list?
I think we got most of it. Again, the big point of discussion this week was YouTube, and I'm hopeful that maybe we'll have some more to talk about next week. You never know in terms of YouTube moves. I think at some point, I predict there'll be more moves personally. I don't know. Maybe you look at Mixer and it was just Ninja and Shroud really, but I think we'll see more. I don't know when exactly that'll be, but we'll see if we have more to talk about soon.
Yeah. One thing I will just emphasize for anybody listening to the pod, but not watching, you can always watch the VODs back if there's anything that you wanted to see that we talked about on screen. Like Ben's new studio. We should have done a better audio description of what your new studio looks like for the podcast listeners. But if you go to youtube.com/gamingcareers, I have a playlist that is on that page of all of the live stream podcasts that we do. All the videos get made unlisted so that they don't annoy the 300,000 subscribers that don't want to watch, you know, us talk about the news every week. But for those of you that do, all of the previous episodes are there and you can rewind and you can watch anything back. Like that. So I just wanted to make that clear because I had a few questions about that. And for everybody watching now, thanks so much for coming to join. We had a real, I think that was probably the most active chat that we've had, maybe because we were asking if anyone had used Twitch Studio, but really awesome to see so many of you around. We are going to be back next week. Will we have more streamers to talk about moving platform? Who knows? It might be a year away. We could hear announcements this week, but I think that is probably everything. So that will be a goodbye from me.
Yep, me too. And guys, I saw people talking about BTTV. We'll look at getting that because I love that emote extension. So we'll try and get it for the Gaming Careers chat too.
Poggers in the chat. Yeah, exactly. That's we'll get it installed. All right, guys. Peace.
See ya.